Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it, and connect to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. Today begins our fourth season of The Grand Life, and it happens to drop right before Valentine's Day. So I thought it might be fun to chat with a couple of friends whom I've gotten to know through the podcast. We have a Zoom call once a month to talk shop and also to encourage one another on the journey. And the interesting thing is that we're not all grandparents. Dr. Carrie Byrne is more a millennial with young children. She is the founder of The Long Distance Grandparent, a social mission business helping grandparents build strong bonds with their grandchildren from a distance. Hi there, Carrie.
Hi, Emily.
Good to have you on. Dee Dee is the creator of a website and a blog, More Than Grand. More Than Grand focuses on how important it is to be a grandparent with valuable resources and ideas for strengthening the bonds with your grandchildren and with their parents. Welcome, Dee Dee.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
Yeah, it's great. I was talking to you before I actually got on the Zoom call about how I brush my teeth every time I have a Zoom call with people. And I don't understand why I do that, because I was saying it must be a social thing. Am I the only one? Carrie, do you do that?
I just brush my teeth as well before.
There we go.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you, whether your teeth are brushed or not. You know, if you're a longtime listener of The Grand Life, you might recognize their voices from other episodes. Like, I talked to Carrie in season 2, episode 10, in the long distance grandparenting episode. And then I talked to Dee Dee in season 2, episode 11, about the club sandwich generation. So if you go back, you'll hear their voices again. But since we're celebrating Valentine's Day, I thought we might kick off season 4 with some thoughts about how we both show and receive love from our grands. Carrie, let's start with you. I know that your focus is on distant grandparents. Maybe you can speak to the challenges of how to show our grands how much we love them, especially in this ridiculous COVID time that we're dealing with.
Sure. Thanks, Emily. I would argue that the ways that you show love in person are very similar to the ways that you would show from a distance. So we show our love to our grandchildren and to anyone in our life, really, through time, attention, encouragement, and the love that we share. Of course, you can't sit at the table on a Saturday morning and tell them all about, you know, give them encouragement, tell them how much you love them. And so as a long distance grandparent, you have other tools available to you, like the mailbox. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, being in touch with encouraging words, telling them how much you love them through mail so that they can see that and read that every single month is a really important and easy way to show your love to your grandchildren. There are also ways that you can do that through video. And this is it's making time for them. It is being prepared for your video chats, sends a message that they're important, asking them questions about what they're interested in, what their passions are. So again, some of the things that you might do if you saw them in person, you can do through any kind of conversation. And these are the small ways that we can say to grandchildren that you matter, that I'm thinking about you.
Yeah, you're speaking about intentionality, which happens whether you're doing that through a Zoom call or you're doing that when you come in the door. And I think sometimes we get the impression that, you know, if we're with them, we just kind of hang out with them. But there should be an intentionality whether we're with them physically or not. Dee Dee, maybe you can speak to that a little too about developing special bonds with our grands. How might you suggest that we do that?
Absolutely. I think intentionality is so much of a part of it. And, you know, so many grandparents, when you ask them what they want to pass on to their grandchildren, they'll give you very specific things that they, you know, they want to pass on their faith or their love of music or whatever it may be. But very few of them have thought of how they're going to do that. And so if you sit down and think about what those things are that are important to you, you should take the time to think out, okay, how am I going to achieve this? I mean, if I want to pass on my love of music, what am I going to do to foster that? Well, let's find some concerts to take them to when they're little. Let's find some, you know, set aside some money to pay for music lessons. Let's whatever it is, but knowing where you want to go is very important in really fostering the relationship that you want.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Carrie, you specialize in the long-distance grandparenting part of that. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about your business that you have developed, helping other people talk about their intentionality, for example.
Sure. So I founded something called the Long Distance Grandparent Society, and this is the only membership in the world. It's a monthly membership for those who have grandchildren age 2 to 10. And every single month I send out a connection pack that is filled with, you know, something to send, to say, and to play is really how I describe it. But each month we also get together, and this was requested by grandparents in the membership, to talk about the things we're doing that's working, some of the things that maybe are not working. And I bring in a guest expert every month. And so this is a group of very intentional grandparents, and that's who I welcome into the membership. You can't just show up on a video call without something to say, without something prepared. And I just want to follow up on what Didi said, because during one of our sessions last week, one of the grandparents said, "This membership has really helped me figure out my brand of grandparenting."
Oh, how interesting. Yeah, I've never thought of that.
And for her, it was because before Christmas, we worked on creating personalized calendars to send to grandchildren. And so grandparents love to get these calendars. I send one out every year to the family, and it is the best gift that I have ever come up with. And I have it down to a science where I can create a calendar in about 10 minutes. And so I did a video for everybody, showed them how to do it. And so this particular grandmother did that and had such a lovely moment of connection with her granddaughter because of it. She shared how her granddaughter sang the song Days of the Month, when she looked at the calendar. But she also figured out through that process that photos and connecting through photos would be how she wants to connect with them. So she doesn't feel like she's going to be a silly grandmother or, you know, the jokey type of grandmother, but she wants to connect using photos because that's what's, you know, photography has been important to her in her life.
Oh, I love that. I do. And in fact, Didi, this is kind of interesting in terms of your business and what you're creating for parents and grandparents, because I just got an email, or I guess I was a voicemail from somebody who said that they read books, and not just children's books, but longer young adult fiction books to their grandchildren. So the kids would come onto a Zoom call and they would read to them. Now, for me, I would want to have them sitting on my lap, but you can't do that right now. So talk a little bit about that, Didi, because you provide a lot of information about books, especially, I think.
Absolutely. Reading has always been a huge part of my life, and my grandchildren's mother is a librarian, so they're naturally books are a big part of our family life. And Emily, it's funny that you say you would want to have them on your lap, but I've actually found that I love reading to them over Zoom or FaceTime because I can see their faces when I'm reading.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a whole different experience. And I was reading a book the other day to my grandson that had grandparents in it called The Hello Goodbye Window. And his face as he got the jokes in the story, and it was fabulous. So yes, it's sad not to have my arms around them. You know, that circle that you create when you have a book in each hand and a little mm-hmm. one in your lap is mm-hmm. is priceless, but there's a trade-off, and yeah, being able to see their face is definitely a reward.
Yeah, we have to get creative, and that's what we're all talking about. It's interesting. It brings me to the idea of parents as gatekeepers, because if you can't get parents on board to let your grandkids come and listen to a Zoom call or listen to a book, then you're kind of stuck. So let's talk a little bit about that. Carrie, what do you think about that idea? Or we've heard the term gatekeepers. I think I've even used it on my podcast. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't like the word. I don't like the word gatekeeper.
Yeah.
I see it out there. It's very much a part of the discourse in kind of the social media or blogging about grandparenting, and in the research as well. There's research that looks at the gatekeepers and the daughter-in-law generally,
yeah,
who becomes this gatekeeper. And I think it has quite a negative connotation to it. So while I know that in looking at the definition of the gatekeeper, that I am that person for my children to their grandparents. I think of myself as a partner in this relationship. And it's like any other relationship, right? Where you need to have kind of accountability. You have to build on each other's strengths. You need to think, really put yourself in the other person's shoes. If we could do that a little more as grandparents and as parents, then we might come to different relationships from a distance in particular. So yeah, I think of myself as a partner to the long distance grandparents. And because I value that relationship so much. I know how important that relationship is. And so I want to be able to foster it, but I need them. I also need them to send something in the mail, because if they don't send anything in the mail, then we're kind of at a standstill. If they come on to a video chat and have something kind of fun to do with my children, it makes it a lot easier. I think one of the things that I hear from parents is that their parents, the grandparents, will say, "You don't call us enough. You know, we would like to be able to, you know, FaceTime more." And then they make the parent makes that happen. And then the grandparent comes to the conversation or the interaction without not a lot to say. And so then it's more work for the parent, because then they scaffold the whole conversation. And that happens. And I don't have a problem doing that myself, because especially when they're little, you know, if they're obsessed with a little red truck right now.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can bring that into the conversation. But there are just some things that grandparents can do to come to the conversations with just a tiny bit of preparation that doesn't take much.
Yeah, I like the idea of partnership. How do you feel about that, Dee Dee?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the main focuses of my website is helping grandparents understand what parents need and how to help them. I know one poll that was done showed that 43% of parents had asked grandparents to change something that they did, and less than half of the grandparents were willing to do so. I mean, some of them flat out said, "Nope, not going to change that." And, you know, there was another almost 25% that said, "Oh, yes, of course, I will stop giving him, you know, McDonald's or whatever," and then continued to do it anyway. So what I see is a big, as one of the big barriers to having that great relationship with the parents, being a good partner to the parents, is actually listening and then following through with what you've been asked to do as a grandparent. So it's usually not hard. And it's, you know, it does take that mind shift of they're in charge now. I'm not in charge anymore.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's crucial to having that good relationship that gives you free access to your grandchildren.
Yeah, we've talked a lot. The three of us have talked about the whole idea of spoiling a grandchild. And that's another term that just kind of gets under my skin when you talk about spoiling. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I wish we could get rid of it entirely, because we do not set out to spoil anything else in the world. It is a negative term in every other use. And I just think it's a terrible term. And if you I don't know, Carrie, you probably have run into this too, but as you talk to grandparents about what their goals are as a grandparent, they never mention buying stuff. They never mention feeding them too much sugar. That's never something that they really want to do. And yet this you know, idea that grandparents get to spoil their grandchildren persists. And
That's unfortunate. What do you think, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm with you both. Talking about spoiling, and Dee Dee's right that in the membership, we talk about something called a grandparent vision statement. And I've yet to hear anybody say that they're part of their vision is to fill their grandchild full of sugar and jelly, right? So what they do say is that they want to make sure that their grandchildren are kind, empathetic, contribute to their community, which seems the opposite of anything to do with spoiling, right?
So,
and I think also that it does really influence your relationship with the parents. And especially if you're not, you know, if you're not willing to respect what they want, then you're saying to them that you don't respect that relationship. And things change. And even within my generation, any parents have different ways of going about things, right? So some parents really care about the food that their children eat. I'm one of those parents. But if somebody shows up with a bag of jelly beans, I cope. I don't freak out, right? Because they don't, you know, I want my kids also to learn how to know how to eat things that have sugar in them. But it's also about your parenting philosophy. And it's because I've done research and looked at how to be a good mom. And so I would expect that other people in my life would be really happy about that, that they would support me in that, that I have gone through the trouble of trying to be a peaceful parent, or like whatever parenting philosophy that your child is following, that just says good things about you because they are looking at how to be a good parent.
Yeah.
And so, right, there are many ways that you can support that. And I think one of the most important conversations you can have with the parents are things around food and respecting them. Mm-hmm. And also being able to say, I would really like to make chocolate chip cookies, and the parents are probably going to say, go for it, right? Have fun. So I think it sways both ways. I think there are parents who are a bit ridiculous about it, if I'm honest, then grandparents on the other side of it who are not listening.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this just comes back to a good partnership.
Yep. And, you know, this leads me into the last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was empathy, because you mentioned, Carrie, that that's one of the things that grandparents talk about. So how do we do that? I mean, there are some obvious ways, I suppose, but how are we going to help make our grandchildren empathetic? Because it seems to be, I want to say that it seems to be lacking in our culture, but maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. What do you think, Carrie?
I think we always say that.
Every generation?
Every generation says that another generation is lacking, you know, empathy, or that there's some component of being selfish. And so But I do think that empathy, no matter what generation or what relationship you have with a child, is something that we're all striving for. Mm-hmm. And I was struck by President Biden's inauguration speech, where there were a lot of things pulled out of his speech and pulled out of that day. But one of the things that he said was in reference to, if we could all just stand in each other's shoes for just a moment. Mm-hmm. And he said, like my mom used to say. And I thought to myself, I want my children to say that one day about me, that I taught them to just stand in somebody else's shoes for a moment. And so I think that, you know, grandparents have a huge role in being able to facilitate empathy just through modeling that behavior and talking about all the good things that produce empathy, which being able to understand someone who doesn't look like you, who doesn't sound like you, right? Knowing that, I don't know, there's just something about the experience that especially baby boomer grandparents have had, who have, you know, baby boomer grandparents know a thing or two about activism, for example. Mm-hmm. I think that I would tie empathy and activism quite strongly together, and that baby boomer grandparents they know a lot about this, right? Like they were part of all of the movements that I read about today. And the reason that I have the language to even talk to my children about it.
Interesting. What about you, Dee Dee? What do you think?
Well, I think everything Carrie said is absolutely right. But I think we need to remember, too, that the most impressionable spot to learn this is at home. Mm-hmm. And so without even having to take it to the neighbors across the street or the people beyond, you know, in the next town over, just showing empathy at home by being respectful of each other, mm-hmm. by showing that other people's feelings and opinions matter, I think that is the place you've got to start. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, ties right back to respecting the parents, being kind to one another, not rolling your eyes when the mother asks you to do something in front of the, you know, grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And just, I think that that's where it all starts.
Yeah, within the four walls we live in. It's true. I think you're right. And both of you provide that with the products and services that you are giving to grandparents. And I think that that's part of why I just admire you guys and respect what you're doing. You know, thanks so much for taking the time to join me on The Grand Life, because, you know, you gave great insights. Hopefully you've spurred us on to some genuine acts of love for our grands during the special time where we sometimes can't be with them. So happy Valentine's Day to you guys, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. Happy Valentine's Day.
My conversation with Carrie and Dee Dee is just one example of the exchange of ideas that is happening globally about grandparenting. Together, we are trying to be respectful and intentional in the way that we love our grands. My hope is that this episode might encourage conversations with your family and friends about your own situation. If you'd like to add to that conversation, please feel free to write me at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com or call me at 317-572-7876. And if you'd like to know more about the Long Distance Grandparent Society or More Than Grand, have a look at our show notes. In our next episode, I talk to Barbara Graham, the New York Times bestselling author of Eye of My Heart.
There was nothing out there. It was all sort of Hallmarky. And I felt like there needed to be truth in grandparenting, and I wanted to do the anti-Hallmark version.
I guarantee that if you read her book, it will spark many conversations that I know we all have as grandmothers and grandfathers, but we don't often talk about in public. These are the emotions we share with our dearest friends over coffee or a glass of wine, but probably not within our own families. For that reason, her book is a must read. Thank you for listening. And as I'm known to say, I do not pretend to be the best grandparent ever. But I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. I'm Emily Morgan, and thanks for joining me in living the grand life.
This podcast was written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It was produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Email them at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com.